open your Bibles with me, kung wala pa ho kayo doon, sa Mark chapter 2. Nung nagsisimula si Jesus sa kanyang public ministry, namangha lahat ng buong sambayanan sa lahat ng mga nakarinig ng kanyang preaching. Nagulat ang lahat nung nasaksihan nila yung mga milagro na ginawa ni Jesus Christ, pati yung mga pagpapalayas niya, mga nasasapian mismo ng kaaway o sa masamang espiritu. Noong time na yon, kung saan man si Jesus magpunta at mangaral, nandun lahat ng tao. Dala-dala ang kanilang may sakit, mga nasasapian, lahat ng lumapit kay Jesus Christ ay pinagaling niya. Everyone was amazed by what they have been seeing and experiencing. The crowd loved him. They followed him wherever he goes with his disciples. All was really going very well. If you are to see this in a human standpoint, parang successful ang ministry ni Jesus Christ. Everybody loved him. Dumadami ang tao. Eventually, maganda dyan. Tuloy nyo lang yan, Jesus Christ. Good job. Until Jesus Christ in chapter 2 made a very controversial statement. Pinag-aralan natin yun sa chapter 2, verse 5 last week. He said, sa isang bahay na may isang tao, may paralitiko, "My son, your sins are forgiven." It was blasphemous, lalong-lalo na sa mga religious leaders. Excuse me. Jesus started a conflict. And this is the beginning of the first 5 conflict episodes ni Jesus at ng mga religious leaders ng Book of Mark. And to make things complicated, Jesus, towards the end ng araw na yon, ate with tax collectors and sinners. Mga kaibigan ho lahat ni Levi, sama-sama na sila sa isang bahay at nagdidiwang. Para sa mga Pharisees, that was scandalous. Anong ginagawa ng mamang ito? Tapos sinabi pa niya sa verse 17 ng chapter 2, "I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners." Since then, nung araw na yon, naging mas mapagmasid ang mga Pariseo kay Jesus and became suspicious sa lahat ng kanyang galaw. Lahat ng kilos at buka ng kanyang bibig ay kinukumpara nila sa kanilang sariling interpretasyon ng Law of Moses at ng mga tradisyon. So last Friday, we took at 2 of the first 5 conflict episodes. Dalawa yung tinignan natin. Ngayong hapon na ito, titignan natin yung tatlong conflict. Tatlong area na kung saan nagkaroon po sila ng conflict ng mga religious leaders. At mapapansin po natin dito, as Jesus exposes His true self, as Jesus exposes His ways to the religious leaders, it also exposed the true condition of their hearts. And their hearts was hard towards God. Friends, my prayer for this afternoon para sa atin is that Jesus, as Jesus progressively exposes Himself through His Word sa passage na to, that the Lord would also expose the true condition of our hearts and that we would cling to Christ for our joy and rest. Our main point ngayong hapon na ito is legalism hardens hearts while Jesus' love compels hearts to love. Legalism hardens hearts, while Jesus' love compels hearts to love. We have divided this passage into 3 headings. Number 1, the Pharisees' ignorance of who the Son of Man was. Chapter 2, verses 18 hanggang 22. Number 2, the Pharisees' ignorance of the Scripture. Chapter 2, verse 23 to 26. And number 3, the Pharisees' ignorance of the Sabbath's purpose. And that will be on chapter 3, verses 1 hanggang 6. Umpisahan po natin yung una. The Pharisees' ignorance of who the Son of Man is. Kung ikaw po ay tumira sa Pilipinas, pinanganak o tumira sa Pilipinas, pagsapit po ng buwan ng Setyembre, nakagawian na nating mga Pinoy magpatugtog ng mga Christmas songs. At yung iba naman sa atin ay nagsasabit ng mga Christmas decorations. Basta pumasok na yung bear months, there is this joyous anticipation sa ating mga Pinoy to celebrate the Christmas season. At tama lang po yun. That is just right. Tama lang po na dapat meron tayong kagalakan sa pagsapit ng Kapaskuhan. Dahil dumating na ang pinakaiintay na Emmanuel. Dahil dumating na po si Jesus, ang anak ng Diyos, who came to save His people from their sins. There should be joy and excitement. Ang sabi ng Anghel Gabriel kay Maria, I bring you good news of great joy. Ang response naman ni Maria, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Nung nagpakita naman ng mga anghel sa mga pastol o mga shepherds, anong sinabi ng mga anghel? I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the earth. There was joy. So tama lang. Tama lang yung posture ng ganong klaseng puso. Pagkalipas ng ilang taon, nung nagbabaptize si John, he saw Jesus walking towards him, and then he declared, with joy, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. With joy. Kasi kung meron man excited, maantay at makita si Jesus Christ, si John yon, John the Baptist. After John inaugurated Jesus' ministry by baptizing him, pinadala siya ng Spirito ng Panginoon sa wilderness where Jesus defeated Satan. Pagkatapos po noon, perform miraculous healings, cast out demons, and preach powerful sermons in Jerusalem, and then as he marched towards Galilee. People were amazed. People loved him. There was an increasing number of people who followed him everywhere he goes. There was joy because the Son of Man has arrived. Exemplifying authority sa kanyang preaching, authority against evil spirits, authority sa sickness. There was joy and excitement sa land ng Galilee and its surrounding areas. But the religious leaders were not rejoicing. Bakit? Because they were fasting. Now last week, iniwan natin si Jesus at ang kanyang mga disciples kay Levi, kasama ang kanyang mga tropa na tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. Yung po yung setting. Okay? They were feasting, they were celebrating because of what Christ has done sa buhay ni Levi. That was a party for Jesus. Now the Pharisees were already troubled by Jesus' association with them. Nababagabag na ang kanilang damdamin. Bakit? Yun ang, kung talagang religious na tao ito, maka-Diyos ito, bakit yan ang mga kasama niya? Yun ang mga dinidibati nila sa kanilang isipan. At nadagdagan pa ito sa kanilang natuklasan about sa disciples ni Jesus Christ. Na kung saan nawindang ulit sila nung nakita nila. Alam niyo ba kung ano ho yun? Look at verse 18. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. And people came and said to him, kay Jesus Christ, why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Bakit nagpa-fast ang mga disciples ni John at ang mga Pharisees? At yung mga disciples mo, Jesus, hindi. Well, simple lang po yung sagot dyan. Kung iiksian natin ang sagot po dito, it's because they were ignorant of who the Son of Man was. They were ignorant and did not know kung sino si Jesus Christ. Ang fasting po ay ang pag-iwas sa lahat ng uri ng pagkain o inumin for a certain period of time. There were various kinds of fasts that were commonly practiced noong Old Testament times. But may prescribed na Old Testament fast na nangyayari ng isang beses sa isang taon. At yun po yung fast kapag yung event ay Day of Atonement. Okay? So, pag dumating na yung Day of Atonement, required po yan ng law na ang buong sambayanan ay mag-fast the whole day. Which was a day of sorrow of sin. Nung panahon ni Jesus Christ, Ang pag-fast ay isang palatandaan kung gaano kalalim ang debosyon ng isang individual sa Panginoon. Kaya pag nung panahon na yun, nakita ka nagfa-fast, aba, spiritual. Kaya ito ang ginagawa ng mga Pariseo. Pero ang mga Pharisees, they don't just fast once a year. They don't just fast once a month. They don't just fast once a week. But they fasted twice a week. Monday, Thursday. Yun yung makalang mga schedule. This was more than what was required. At apparently, ganun din ang ginagawa ng mga disciples ni John the Baptist. The Pharisees take pride sa kanilang ginagawa. And really, they make it really known na sila ay nagfa-fasting. Kinukulubot nila yung kanilang mukha. Pumupunta sa public square. Nagmumukhang mahina. Tapos nagpe-pray ng malakas. Sabi ng mga tao, wow, ang Pharisees namin talaga napaka-spiritual. And they're proud about it. Sa Luke 18, may isang Pharisee rin doon. At ang sinabi niya, sa prayer niya, I fast twice. He arrogantly said sa kanyang prayer. Well, obviously, si Jesus at ang kanyang mga disciples, hindi nagfa-fast. Again, kung ang tingin ng mga tao, tingin natin sa mga mamang ito ay mga espiritual, may mga takot sa Diyos, bakit hindi sila nagpapas? Yun po yung nanggagaling yung katanungan na yun. Just imagine kung ano nararamdaman ng mga Pharisees noong time na yun. That's why tinanong nila kay Jesus, bakit? Ano nangyayari rito? Paano sinagot ni Jesus Christ to? Tinan niyo yung verse 19. Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. In short, Jesus was saying, there's no reason para sa kanila mag-fast. No reason for them to fast. And he illustrates this by giving an analogy. At yung analogy na ito ay wedding analogy para mas maintindihan. Now, sa first century Judaism, ang pinakamalaking festive occasion o celebration ay kasalan. And I think hindi na bago sa atin yan. There's so many cultures dito sa Dubai na when wedding season comes or occasion, a lot of some cultures really pay big money na kung saan para mas maging mayabong, mas maging malaki at ingarbo ang kasalan para mas magsaya ang celebration. I think we are familiar with that. Some of them design yung mga houses or buildings na punong-puno ng ilaw because this is a festive event. What Jesus was stating here, actually, what Jesus is trying to state here is parang stating the obvious. Ang kasalan ay isang festive na occasion. Hindi ito ang panahon na magdadalamhati o magmumukmuk ang isang tao. Ito'y panahon ng pagdiriwang. When Jesus is with His people, they should be feasting and not fasting. They should be rejoicing and not mourning. Once again, Jesus gave another provocative statement sa verse 19. Alam mo, kung ikaw ay, yung ministry mo, iniingatan mo, gusto mo maging successful, at least ito yung iniisip ng madalasan ng mga ministers, kailangan mo ingatan yung mga imong sasabihin sa mga tao. Pero not Jesus, in verse 19. Jesus was claiming na siya ang bridegroom. Siya ang bridegroom. At bakit pwedeng maging issue ito sa mga Pharisees? Paano naging issue ito? Kasi sa Old Testament, the only one who addresses himself as the bridegroom of Israel is ang Diyos lamang. Si God lang ang nagtawag sa kanya. Nasa Isaiah chapter 62 verse 5. You can look it up later. Isaiah 62 verse 5. Si Jesus lang ang nagsabing, I am the bridegroom of Israel. And here comes Jesus Christ boldly, provocatively, stirring another conflict sa mga Pharisees. Because I am the bridegroom. Hindi nila kailangan umiyak. Parang yun ang sinabi niya sa paralitiko sa chapter 2, verse 5, di ba? Your sins are forgiven. Ayun na naman, di ba? So parang ito na naman yung mga conflict situations ni Jesus Christ with the religious leaders. Jesus was saying na hanggat kasama nila ako, the bridegroom, it was out of place to fast. At ang appropriate response dapat ng mga guests na to, yung mga disciples ko, is to rejoice. Now, Jesus was not against fasting, by the way. He's never against fasting. Kasi sinabi niya na darating ang panahon na appropriate na mag-fast ang kanyang mga disciples. Tingnan niyo sa verse 20. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. Now, pansinin ninyo ang term na ginamit ni Jesus dito. Again, pag nagbitaw ng salita, ng litanya si Jesus Christ, very intentional. Ginamit niya yung term, take away from them. Taken away. Taken away, he means sudden removal or being snatched away violently. Ito po ay parang isang prophecy na nakatago sa isang analogy. That means, darating ang panahon na si Jesus will be taken away or snatched violently or will be arrested. At pag dumating yung time na yon, my disciples will mourn. This of course is a reference to Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, a prophecy. It was a time of sorrow and fasting, and we know na ginawa ng mga disciples yun nung dinakip si Jesus Christ ng mga Pharisees dahil sa John chapter 16 verse 20. Naka-indicate yun, they mourned, they fasted. So pagdating ng bridegroom, lahat ay nagbago. So here comes Jesus Christ, parang naiba lahat ng mga, iba, napapansin ng mga Pharisees, iba yung mga litanya, iba yung kalakaran. Para kasi pagdating ni Jesus Christ, pagdating ng bridegroom, lahat ng ginawa niya ay nagbago. A new age of new history ay nagsisimula. Kaya nagiging intentional si Jesus Christ. Pinapakita niya na magbabago na ngayon ang kalakaran. At ipinaliwanag ito ni Jesus Christ by giving two illustrations. Ano yung new age na ito? Ano yung new kingdom na ito? Ano yung new history na magsisimula? Well, tingnan natin sa verse 21 and verse 22 kasi nagbigay siya ng illustration. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it. The new from the old, and a worse tear is made. Verse 22, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skin, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskins. Now, for those of you, for those of you not know, if you're not part of our community group that meets once a week, we study the passage before I preach. So some of you probably are thinking, ano ba ibig sabihin nito? Probably you got, some of you got it right. Some of you are probably debatable kung ano ba ang ibig sabihin nito. And it's not easy to understand. Now, but we must understand na yung binigay na illustration ni Jesus Christ is a common knowledge nung panahon nila. Pag sinabing wineskin, ay, alam ko na ibig sabihin yan. Okay? Pag sinabi na yung patch, ay, oo, syempre, alam namin ibig sabihin niya. Parang common knowledge sa panahon natin ngayon. Marami tayong mga certain things that we know na common knowledge. Pag sinabi natin metro, alam natin ibig sabihin ng metro. Pag sinabi natin ang Dubai Mall, alam natin yung Dubai Mall. Pag sinabi natin yung biryani, alam natin, di ba? So, may mga certain common knowledge na hindi na kailangan ng buong paliwanag. So, Jesus here is stating the obvious. He's stating the obvious. So, anong sinasabi? Parang ganito ang sinasabi niya. Ang sinasabi ni Jesus dito, parang wala naman magtatagpi ng bagong tela sa lumang damit, di ba? Dahil pag naglalaban yun, uurong ang bagong tela, ang mababatak mismo yung luma. At dahil doon, mapupunit yung dating yung lumang tela. Yun ang sinasabi niya. Di ba? Wala naman gagawa sa inyo nun, di ba? So he was provoking them. At ganoon din naman ang paglagay ng bagong alak sa lumang container kasi yun yung container noong time na yon, yung animal skin na kunsan that is used for fermentation. So nilalagay ho yung alak doon, yung new wine na hindi pa masyadong fermented, pauupuin doon for such a season, and from there, yung fermentation process happens. If luma yung wine skin, malamang bitak-bitak na yun. Nakakita naman tayo siguro ng mga leather na kunsan luma na, di ba, umaangat-angat na, medyo crack na. If bagong wine nilagay mo ron, hindi niya kakayanin yung mismong fumes na lalabas mismo para sa fermentation. At puputok na lang ho yun. Masisira ang wineskin, which is yung container, masisira rin yung alak. So, ang sinasaano, yan, napaliwanag natin kung ano yung common knowledge yun. Ano naman ngayon ang relation nito kay Jesus Christ? So, ang sinasabi ni Jesus sa dalawang illustration na ito, hindi pwedeng paghaluin, hindi pwedeng pagsamahin ang bago at saka luma. It doesn't make sense. So he was throwing this to them. Sa mga nakakarinig kay Jesus, niya sabi niya, oo nga, ba't sinasabi mo sa amin? Alam na naman namin lahat yan. Ah, nung nakuha na niya attention, anong ginawa? Ang Pharisees ay nagpa-fasting pa din. Okay, bakit siya nila nagpa-fasting pa rin? Nagpa-fasting pa din kasi ito ay ayon sa old rules. Okay? Si Jesus ay hindi lang basta-bastang karagdagan sa old Jewish structure. Nung dumating si Jesus Christ, hindi ibig sabihin, oh sige, ito yung old system, dadagdag natin si Jesus Christ. Hindi po pwedeng mangyari yon. Ang mga tradisyon na kapamamaraanan ng worship, gaya ng fasting, paggunitan ng mga feast, na lahat na nauugnay sa temple ng Jerusalem, ay nagsisimula na lang maglaho. Patapos na yung season na yan. Patapos na yung generation na yan. Patapos na yung episode na kung saan nangyayari yan sa life ng mga Jews. Ibig sabihin, parating na yung bago. Parating na yung bago. Si Jesus ay hindi pwedeng ipaghalo sa Old Covenant system. Ang Old Covenant ay nagbibigay daan papunta sa New Covenant because si Jesus Christ ang New Covenant. Yung style ng worship nyo, yung mga means of redemption, hindi na yan. Darating na kasi lahat ng mga yan ay tinuturo ako. The Old Covenant does not support the New Covenant. It points to it. Ito po ay transition stage na nangyayari rito nang dumating si Jesus Christ. It was a transition. So in short, lahat ng old sacrificial practices ng Old Testament points to Christ. Yung temple itself points to Christ because Christ points the temple to himself. Destroy this temple in 3 days, ako'y labangon. Do you see this? So, yeah, this is a very good understanding sa redemptive history. Transition na to from old to the new. Kasi dumating na si Christ. Yung mga pinag-uusapan nyo, pinapractice ninyo, yung tinuturo nyo sa Old Testament, ere na, nandito na. Hindi pwedeng paghaluin. Kasi pag hinalo ang old sa new, sasabog yan sa akin. Hindi pwede. At nasa Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 to 17 yan. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. Pero some of you are asking, Pastor, ba't hindi na natin pinapractice yung mga feast of mga lantern, mga feast of tents? Bakit wala na? It's because of this. Old covenant yan eh. Ito ang sinabi sa Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. Kaya't huwag na kayong magpapasakop pa sa anumang alituntunin tungkol sa pagkain o inumin, tungkol sa mga kapistahan, sa bagong buwan, o sa araw ng pamamahinga. So, ito yung mga practices ng Jews. Pero tinamin yung verse 17. Ang mga ito'y anyu lamang na mga bagay na darating. At sino yon? Ngunit si Kristo ang katuparan ng lahat. So, hindi na pwedeng paghaluin kasi tapos na eh. Tapos na yung era na yan. Ako na ang bagong era. Everything na pinag-uusapan sa Old Testament, nandito na ngayon. It's me. I am. Haba ng paliwanag, Pastor. Dalawang tanong. Meron kaming dalawang tanong. Ano yung unang tanong? Sige. Pastor, kinakailangan pa ba natin mag-fasting sa panahon na ito in light sa natutunan natin kay Jesus Christ? So that's one question. Sagutin ko yan ang tatlong kapamamaraanan at mamaya sagutin na natin yung number two. Una, kailangan natin maunawaan that it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Galatians 5:1. At ang fasting po does not make us right with God. Jesus makes us right with God. So we don't fast for redemption, para tayo maligtas, para mabayaran natin kasalanan. We don't do that. Pangalawa, maging maingat po tayo sa mga legalistic tendencies po natin in practicing fasting. There are no clear imperatives sa New Testament writers na nagsasabi na dapat ikaw mag-fasting. If you know someone who says, kailangan mag-fasting ka, anong klaseng church yan? Anong klaseng individual? Ba't hindi ka nagpa-fasting? You have to be careful sa mga tao na yon. Because those are legalistic tendencies. Baka hindi rin niya alam. Okay? Be gracious. Pero walang clear indication sa New Testament na kailangan mong gawin yan. Hindi din po natin dapat gamitin ito bilang as a manipulative tool para makuha natin ang gusto natin sa Panginoon. Yun ang common practice ng mga fasting, di ba? Sige, hindi ako kakain para makuha ko yung gusto ko. May mga ilan na inaakala na ang fasting ay susi para sagutin ng Panginoon ang lahat ng kanyang kahilingan. Kaya lahat dapat mag-fast. Lord, may kailangan ako. Boom! Lord, teka, tapos na yung fasting ko ng isang linggo ah. Ba't wala pa rin? Sige, kain ako ng konti. Fast ako ulit. Gawin ko 2 weeks. Hindi natin pwedeng gawin yon. Pangatlo. Pastor, o sige. So, ibig sabihin ba, hindi pwede mag-fast. Pangatlo. However, Alam din po natin, nung si Jesus ay nag-ascend papuntang heaven, ang disciples niya ay nag-fast. Uy, New Testament yon. Ah, okay. Sa Acts chapter 13, bago sila nag-send out ng mga missionaries, they fast. Always, pag may fasting, may accompanying ng prayer. Acts chapter 14, nag-fast ang church at ang mga disciples nung namimili sila ng mga elders or leaders sila sa church. Uy! So, there is a type of Christian fasting. So, pastor, intigan na ako ano yun. Balikan po natin yung verse 18. Tingnan natin yung context. The disciples fasted because the bridegroom was with them, was not with them. Diba? Jesus was taken from them. That's why they fast. Bakit sila nagpa-fast? Fasting is not something na kung saan you're hoping to receive. It's a response. Kasi meron ka na nun. Kasi ang tendency po ng fasting is receiving something from God or receiving God. Pero ang principle ng New Testament fasting is you already have it and you are responding. Let me clarify that as I go through this. Ano? The key word dito po is longing. Longing. They long to be with Jesus, yung mga disciples. They have tasted and seen how the Lord is good. Now na kinuha si Jesus Christ sa kanila, they fasted. They long for Christ because this is a response sa relationship nila kay Christ. Wala si Christ, nasaan na? I long for Christ. That's the reason, yun yung context ng verse 18. Hindi ba sa John chapter 16, ganun din. Yung sinabi ron, na nag-fast sila. They were longing. It's a response. In his book, Fasting, Scott McKnight defines fasting as a natural, inevitable response of a person to grievous, sacred moment in life. So fasting is not a manipulative tool that guarantees results. Instead, it is a response. Hindi tayo nag-abstain sa pagkain because of what has... Ang reason kung bakit tayo nag-abstain sa pagkain, it's because of what happened sa ating heart. I had a relationship with Jesus Christ. I am going through something in my life. This is a response sa kalagayan na ito. We have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And we want more. Lord, may pinagdadaan na kami. We want more. We want more of you. That's Christian fasting. Christian fasting is not because we're longing for what we don't have or we have not experienced, but because of what we have experienced. Lord, I'm longing for you. Lord, I want more of you. Lord, give me the desire. Lord, we pray that give me more deeper repentance sa akin sin. Lord, I'm fasting. Lord, I pray for your presence. Now, right now, I'm going through dark times. You pray. You long for God's will. You long for God's presence. Not asking the Lord, Lord, I'm fasting. Paano ba yan? It is the Lord's goodness if He responds. Pero you fast to seek God. To seek His will. To seek His direction. Hindi yung gusto mo. Maybe in your fasting, the Lord would say no. Would you respond to that? Fasting is something that is voluntary. Because I am longing for God. I'm longing for His will. I'm longing for His presence. I'm longing for His direction. I'm longing to be satisfied kahit hindi niya ako sagutin. Fasting. New Testament Christian fasting. Pangalawa, Pastor, is Jesus merely an add-on sa ating life? Ito ba si Jesus may karagdagan na lang sa ating buhay? I remember watching a supposedly Christian talk show where the talk show host said sa isang non-Christian, listen, you have a beautiful wife. You have a wonderful children. You have a big house, a nice car, and a multi-million dollar company. You know what you lack? Jesus. Now, may problema ho yung statement na yon. Kasi it's an add-on si Jesus Christ. Friends, many of us think that way pagdating kay Jesus. Pastor, basta maayos ang trabaho, magkaroon lang ako Kung may maayos ang trabaho, masagana ang aking pamilya, maganda ang kalakaran mismo sa kumpanya, close kami ng mga anak ko, wala kaming problema sa mga kapitbahay, madami akong kaibigan. And yeah, oh, by the way, sige, dadagdag ko na lang si Jesus Christ. At paano lumalabas? Sige, mag-church ako. Attend akong church service. So sige. O sige, dadagdag, sasama ko na rin yung kapitbahay ko para yung Christian duty ko. Attend ako ng Bible study o community group. Sige, check. So, anong nangyari is nagiging check the box. You're compartmentalizing si Christ. Okay, career life, love life. Okay, ano ba? Ano ba meron? Family life, career life ulit, ay, love life ulit. Okay, so, and from there, dito si Jesus Christ. So, pagdating sa situation na nagugulo na ang buhay mo, eto unang nawawala. Kailangan ng pera. Kailangan ayusin ang relasyon. Why? Kasi compartmentalized. What God wants is full devotion. Atos na nga ako ng konti. God wants full devotion, friends. Full allegiance. He wants everything. He is worthy of your praise. That's what it means to live a life of repenting and trusting Jesus Christ. Christ bought us with His blood and you no longer can live for yourselves. Yan ang ibig sabihin ng denying yourself. Hindi kumpartan dito lang si Jesus Christ. Hindi, si Jesus Christ, well, lahat yan, pag-desisyon sa pera, sa trabaho, sa relationships, lahat. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Mark 12:30. Hindi a part of your life. Hindi checkbox. Kaya minsan sa'yo, Pastor, nag-church ako. Wala ako last time, pero nandito ako ngayon. Nakakalungkot. It's not a checkbox, mga kapatid. The Pharisees do not know Jesus. That's why they have no idea what they were doing. Number two, the Pharisees' ignorance of the Scripture. Kamangmangan nila sa salita ng Diyos. Teka, ang Pharisees, ignorante sa salita ng Diyos. Well, marami silang alam, pero yung implications ng salita ng Diyos, hindi nila alam. Jesus, in more than many ways, has shocked the Pharisees several times. Sa mga tama ng Pharisees, nung una, wala silang issue kay Jesus Christ. Eh. Alam mo, wala silang issue talaga kay Jesus Christ. Bilib na bilib sila mag-preach. Tama yan, may authority. Nakatayo at naglakad ang mga lumpa. Galing! Napalayas yung mga masamang espiritu. Aba, very good! Wala naman talaga silang issue eh. All was going well until na-shock din sila nung sinabi ni Jesus Christ, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Tapos nakiselebrate sa mga sinners. At ngayon, meron na naman issue patungkol sa hindi nagpa-fast. Ano yun, Pastor? Look at verse 23 to 24. On the Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Ang disciples ni Jesus Christ ay bumunot po ng heads of grain at kinain. So ano yung heads of grain? Ito po ay yung mga ulo ng mga butil ng wheat. Kung nakita na kayo ng butil ng palay, naglalakad sila sa field, napadaan sila, bumugot sila ng ganon, pinili, tas kinain. Gutom sila eh. Hindi pinigilan ni Jesus. Walang si Jesus, kumuha rin siguro. Now, bawal ba yon? Hindi. Nasa Deuteronomy 20-25, pwede nila gawin yon. Okay? Ito po yung nangyayari rito. But since it was a Sabbath, so ibig sabihin ba, Sabbath, ni pwede? Ayon sa mga mabababaw at walang basehan na interpretasyon ng mga Pharisees, ito daw ay unlawful harvesting. Ba, illegal daw po na pag-aani yung ginagawa? Eh, bumunot lang naman. Ang problema kasi po sa Pharisees, nagdadagdag sila ng layers ng law to protect anybody from breaking it. They had developed this code ethics to determine kung ano ba ang pwedeng at hindi pwedeng gawin ng isang Jew. Ang tawag po dyan ay legalism. Para matupad ang law na to, papatungan natin isang law. Ay, teka, dagdagan pa natin ang isang law para matupad itong law to, para makuha natin yung law na to. So, ang tawag po dyan ay legalism. Ang legalism ay ang paniniwala na you add something to the law to protect yourself from breaking it. Here, bigyan ko kayo ng example ng mga ginagawa nilang law dito, mga legalistic add-ons nila. Nakalagay po ito sa Talmud, ano? Marami sa mga 39 or 36 to 39, pero pumili lang ako ng konti. So, ayon sa Talmud list, ito yung mga hindi nila pwedeng gawin. Hindi pwede magtanim, hindi pwede umani sa araw ng Sabbath. Sila lang ang gumawa nito, no? Yung iba, it makes sense, kasi trabaho. Hindi pwede magluto. Okay? So, magluto ka na mismo before ng Sabbath. Yung iba sa inyo, mababalaw dito. Mababaliw. Hindi pwede maglaba. Hindi pwede magtali o magluwag ng buhol. Hindi pwede magtahi. Kung napunitan ka ng araw na yon, magpalit ka na lang. Bawal sumulat. Bawal magsindi ng apoy. Kaya kung panahon na yon ay uso yung kotse, hindi ka pwede mag-drive kasi it produces fire, ignition ng engine. At ito yung medyo ridiculous, ano? Bawal magpatay ng apoy. Na-imagine nyo ba yun? No? Yung bahay mo. Saka, medyo, yung gumapang na sa kwarto mo, Junior, oh, yung apoy. Ah, pero wag mo nga ano yan, kasi Sabbath. Ay, nandun pala si ano. Teka, kaibigan ko yun. So, hindi ho pwede. Do you see how ridiculous yung ginagawa ng mga Pharisees dito? A few diagnostic questions na gusto ko itanong sa atin. Ask yourself these questions. And I got the idea rito kay John Piper, but I made it a question. Okay? First of all, are you overly concerned about other people's behaviors that are explicitly not prohibited or commanded sa Bible? Masyado ka na naapektuhan sa certain view o kinikilos ng isang kapatiran. And dahil dyan, nagkakaroon ka na ng over-concern ka na or over-anxious ka na. To the point, nakakausapin mo na at mismong i-rebuke mo na. Na wala naman clear na sinasabi sa Bible. Hindi ko gusto yung pantalon mo. Sasabihan ko, hindi makakristyano yung pantalon mo. Sadly, there are churches na kung saan ayaw nilang pagsuotin ng pantalon ng mga babae. Because they refer to some New Testament teaching na sinasabi ron ni Paul na dapat ang mga babae and so hindi pwede magsuot ng kasuotan ng lalaki. But may pantalon na may pambabae. So those are legalistic terms. Hindi pwede yung rock and roll. Hindi pwede yung mga dapat hymns lang. I grew up in a very, there was a church and a group na sinasamahan ho namin nung may mga conferences, mga Baptist conferences, and this one preacher said, hindi dapat rock and roll, dapat tanggal ang drums, yung electric guitars. Sa demonyo yan. And again, I understand kung he does not prefer to use instruments. I can dig it. I love hymns. Pero to demonize it is something that is really legalistic. So may nagtanong, Pastor, may tanong ako. Paano yung special number? Say, ano yan yung special number? Di ba yung tape, may drums doon at saka electric guitar? Paano yun? Ay, hindi yun, kasi nakarecord yun. So parang, aha. So live, hindi pwede, pero recording, okay lang. So these things talaga, wala naman nakasulat sa Bible eh. Hindi siya mandated. So we need to be careful. Ask your question. Ang reason ba na troubled ka sa isang kapatiran is wala ka naman basihan sa Bible? And kaya ka naiinis or kaya gusto mo siyang kumprontahin? Evaluate your heart. Another question is, do you fail to see the Mosaic system of sacrifices, priestly ceremonies, rites or purification, food laws, and ritual laws are not binding any longer sa atin mga Kristiyano? I know there are some who still practices yung mga laws at saka yung practices ng Old Testament and they say, hindi, kailangan practice now. Kung ginagawa mo yun pa rin hanggang ngayon at sa verse passage natin sinasabi ni Jesus Christ, hindi na kailangan, then that's a legalistic activity. Third, do you treat the law or any moral behavior as the ground of your full acceptance with God rather than the blood of Jesus Christ? Is the reason why kung bakit ka mabait? It's because you're trying to make it right with God? That's also legalism. Kung ang sagot po ay oo sa karamihan na ito, then papunta na po tayo ron. If not, nandun na tayo. Ano ang sagot ni Jesus? Look at verse 25. Have you never read? Ang ganda ng sagot niya rito. Pinagbintangan sila, you're disobeying the law, pero sorry, have you never read? Para kay Jesus, the scripture is absolute authority. Nung sinabi ni Jesus, it is written, tapos na ang debate. Yun ang sinasabi, it is written. Nasusulat. Tapos na argumento. Sinabi mismo ni Jesus Christ na ang scripture ay hindi pwedeng baliin. Jesus alluded yung time nung si David ay tumataka sa masamang hari na ang pangalan ay King Saul. Gusto siyang paslangin. At dahil ho dito, yung story na ito matatagpuan sa 1 Samuel chapter 21. And it's a really interesting story. So si David at ang kanyang mga sundalo, alagad, ay nagutom. At dahil sa nagutom sila, David, God's anointed king, nilabag ang law. At kinain niya ang kanyang, at ang kanyang mga kasamahan ang bread of presence or showbread na kung saan ang pwedeng kumain lang nun ay yung mga priests. Kinain nila. Nagsinungaling siya. Sinabi niya sa high priest ng time na yun, "Oy, ito, kailangan namin ng pagkain. Ito, inutusan ako. Wala nga ako mga armas dito. Kaya kailangan mo kayong pakainin. O sige, kumain kayo." Pero David was not condemned for it. God did not condemn him for that. Teka muna. Anong gagawin natin dito, Pastor? Medyo ang hirap niya. So, okay lang kay Lord? At sinungaling? Okay lang kay Lord? Ito nangyayari? No, I don't think ang tinuturo ni Jesus dito ay kapag nagutom ka o may pangangailangan ka, eh magnakaw ko o magsinungaling ka at ibe-bless ka kasi may pangangailangan ka. Hindi yun ang issue ni Jesus. O Lord, nagugutom ako. Eh nakalitaw sa bakery yung mga tinapay dyan. Bigla, oh, sabi si David? Di ba si Jesus? Yung mga, di ba? Naku, yan ang tinatawag na maling interpretation po. So kailangan natin ingat. Sabi ni Pastor, okay lang daw. May recording kami niyan. Hindi po. Hindi po ito ang punto ni Jesus Christ nung binanggit niya sa 1 Samuel 21. Jesus was using this as a counter-argument sa mga accusations nila na nilabag daw nila ang Sabbath. Kasi di ba may accusation, nilabag niyo ang Sabbath. San sa Bible? O, bigyan kita something sa Bible, sabi niya. Ay wala naman scripture basis na nabanggit. Kaya binanggit niya ang scripture basis sa 1 Samuel 21 to challenge them. Yun ang motive ni Jesus Christ. Of course, he has probably hundreds of motives kung bakit niya ginawa yan. And I've read all the studies about this. Pero I think I come to a conclusion. Ito yung point ni Jesus Christ. So parang ganito ang situation. Nilabag niyo ang Sabbath! Oh, ano masasabi ninyo kay David na nilabag din niya ang law para kainin ng showbread at hindi siya ikinondemn ng Panginoon? Sige nga. Nasa 1 Samuel yon. He was throwing the argument kasi yun yung situation eh. They were giving him ridiculous laws. And Jesus knows na hindi nila alam ang salita ng Diyos. O sige, bigyan kita sa saldas. Paano mo naman mapapaliwanag na si David kinain at sinungaling yung tinapay na bread of presence? How would you explain that? How did the Pharisees respond? Exactly, nothing. Wala tayo nakikita ng response dito. Nung kinain ng disciples sa mga butel ng wheat, they have violated the Pharisees' interpretation of Sabbath. It was narrow, restrictive, wala silang basihan. Friends, do you have the same attitude about the absolute authority of Scriptures, pareho ni Jesus Christ? Friends, kung tayo po ay may kakausapin, kung tayo may kakounselan, kung tayo ay may i-rebuke, make sure may basihan po kayo. Of course, not all issues are addressed by Scripture. A lot of them needs wisdom. But make sure nasa tama po kayo biblically. Nasa tama po ang puso at motibo niyo when going. Do not make up certain rules or philosophies to rebuke a brother na kung saan wala naman sinabanggit ang Bible patungkol doon. Friends, not all preachers are faithful Bible preachers. Maring ibang Bible preachers are funny, charming, they may be intellectually stimulating, they may have a large following, but there is no scripture ang kanilang preaching or mali ang interpretation. Be careful sa mga preachers na yon. Friends, what type of preachers are you listening to? What type of preachers are you looking forward to listen? Are you looking forward for entertainers or expositors? 2 Timothy 4, 3-4, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachings to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off to myths." Number three and last, the Pharisees' ignorance of the Sabbath purposes. We see that in chapter 3, verse 1 hanggang 6. Ang nakakamangha po dito sa storyan dito is that there are no doubts that anybody has sa kanilang pag-iisip na hindi kaya pagalingin ni Jesus Christ yung man with the withered hand. Walang nagdududa rito, Jesus can heal a man with a withered hand. Walang issue. Ang issue po dito is this. Pagagalingin ba niya ito sa Sabbath day? Yun ang issue eh. At ang Pharisees ay kating-katimalaman kung pagagalingin nga niya yung mamang ito. Lalabagin kaya niya ang Sabbath day pag pinagaling niya yung may kapansanan na ito? So anong ginawa ni Jesus Christ? Look, nahiya o nga, mukhang setup to, baka iba na sabihin. No, tingnan, look at verse 3 to 5. He said to the man with a withered hand, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? Anong sagot nila? Exactly. They were silent. He did not just heal the man. Jesus, knowing kung ano nasa puso nila, na may ganun silang katanungan, answered them by asking a question, a rhetorical question. Nararamdaman nyo ba intention na yun? Nandyan yung mamang yan, nandyan lahat yung mga Pharisees, nandyan lahat yung mga tao, nandyan si Jesus Christ. Liga, dito ka. Yun yung issue eh. Jesus was doing amazing things. Pinagaling niya eh. Sabbath day. At eto mga Pharisees, concern lang nila is to accuse Jesus on technicality, on their wrong interpretation ng law. Ang mga Pharisees had distorted ang purpose ng Sabbath. They refused to answer the questions kasi wala silang masagot. In their minds, the Sabbath was all about religious observances. It was all about keeping the law. They had missed the true purpose of the Sabbath, kagaya ng binasa kanina ni Mike sa Deuteronomy chapter 5. God instituted the Sabbath for our benefit. God instituted the Sabbath for our good. The Sabbath is for regaining our strength. Sa mga tao nung time, mga Jews nung time na yon. The Sabbath is for resting, that we might run the race well. The Sabbath is to help us work. Tignan niyo yung verse 27. Balik tayo sa chapter 2. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Sabi ni Tim Keller, which he explained clearly, the Sabbath is about restoring and diminishing, it's about replenishing the drain. It's about repairing the broken. To heal the man's shriveled hand is to do exactly what the Sabbath is all about. Yet because the leaders are so concerned that the Sabbath regulations be observed, they don't want Jesus to heal this man. Their hearts are as shriveled as the man's hand. That's a really good analogy. Look at verse 5. And they look around them and with anger and greed at the hardness of their hearts and said to them, stretch out your hand. He stretched out and his hand was restored. Friends, this is the heart of these three stories. Jesus is bringing joy to his disciples that there was no longer a need for fast in his presence. Ang mga mabubuting, ang mga butil ng wheat na kinain ng disciples ay nagbibigay sa kanila ng lakas for them to learn about Jesus Christ, for them to serve others. And now here's a man with a withered hand, unable to help himself, needed healing, no one cared to help, at yung mga Pharisees, mas mabuti na huwag mo na pagalingin kasi Sabbath ngayon. It is through this pressing circumstance, Jesus exposes the hearts of the Pharisees. They implemented their religious rules and regulation, not to serve others. Yun po yun eh. They implemented their rules and regulations and not to serve others and build relationships. No, they practiced this in order to serve themselves, to make them look good, for people to adore them. It's all about them. That's why Jesus was angered and grieved by the hardness of their hearts. The purpose of the Sabbath is to give God's people rest. Not just physical rest, but spiritual rest. Friends, where do you go for spiritual joy and rest? Are you looking for it by trying to do good deeds? Are you trying to be busy doing ministry, spending too much time trying to increase your knowledge about theology? Friends, listen, we too can be like Pharisees. We can be so intent upon our religious practices that we become too concerned about rules and regulations that will still lead us to spiritual dryness. True rest is found in the person who have given his life on a tree to ransom us from the wrath of God. Friends, your hope for everlasting, eternal rest is on God alone. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, when He lived the perfect life, died the perfect death for our sins, and on the third day has affirmed all of the prophecies when He has risen from the dead. Friends, repent from your sinful ways of trying to work hard for your righteousness and turn to Jesus Christ for your eternal rest. Verse 28, why? Because the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not about rules and regulations. It's about relationships. Our relationship with God and our relationship towards one another. Friends, we can be intentional in using our methodologies that we miss the reasons for our methods. We can be so intent upon our theology that we miss loving others. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is my prayers at Crossroads Church, that we would be marked by love, that we would love the Lord with the wholeness of our beings, and that we would love each other with the love of Christ. And what our theology comes to practice, na kung saan yung ating nalalaman patungkol sa Panginoon ay makikita sa pagmamahal natin sa bawat isa at sa pagbibigay natin ng kapapurihan sa Kanya. The Pharisees don't know Jesus. The Pharisees don't love Jesus. The Pharisees don't love others. They love themselves. And as a result, verse 6, the Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against Him on how to destroy. Nakipagbati sila sa kaaway nila para pagkaisahin si Jesus Christ. That's the heart that is hard. Friends, legalism hardens hearts. Trust Jesus. Jesus' love compels our hearts to love God and to love one another. Heavenly Father, we come to You with broken hearts and with crushed spirits. Thank You for reminding us na wala kaming kayang gawin na kabutihan sa inyong harapan, na wala kaming kayang gawin na kabutihan upang iligtas ang aming sarili sa aming mga kasalanan. Walang ritual, walang relihiyon, walang aktibidades ang pwedeng magbayad sa aming kasalanan kung hindi si Kristo lamang. Salamat, Panginoon, at hindi na natili sa Old Covenant. Kung nanatili ang panahon ng redemption sa Old Covenant, Panginoon, malamang lahat kami ay pupunta sa impyerno. At nagpapasalamat ako na hindi yun ang plano ninyo. Ang plano ninyo is to all of these Old Covenant practices points to Christ. As believers in Jesus Christ, we pray that we would live a life relying on Christ, loving Christ, knowing Christ's love, and loving our brothers and sisters. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.